You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 8th of February, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, today I thought we would have a look at honour-based crime, and this is something really that is a part of foreign cultures, cultures that are foreign to Britain. Usually Islamic culture, but it also features as a part of Hindu culture. It takes place in Pakistan, India. I guess it probably also takes place in Africa. It seems to be a part of Islam to have these violent retribution basically carried out against family members for dishonoring the family. And in some of these countries, they claim that they are against it, but the country's laws themselves are based around Sharia law, and Sharia law includes this as a part of it. And I really want to talk about it today, not just because it has happened in Britain, and it's an example of the failure of multiculturalism, an example of the horrors that multiculturalism brings, but also because there's been an instance of it happening in Iran. And I thought Iran was quite a civilized country. I'm quite surprised to hear that something like this has actually happened over there. And it does seem as if a lot of people have been complaining about it. But at the same time, it does seem to keep happening over there. An Iranian man this week carried the severed head of his wife through the streets after decapitating her in an honor killing after she tried to flee the country. Now, the fact that he walked through the streets carrying her head implies that he thought this was an acceptable sort of thing to do. It was something that would have been understood by the people there as being justified retribution. And that's quite shocking to think how different that is to what we would think is acceptable behaviour over here in Europe. The unnamed man beheaded his wife, Mona Haydari, 17, in the southwestern city of Avaz on Saturday, before carrying her severed head around the streets. So a very young girl, just a teenager. The young wife is understood to have fled to Turkey after her family discovered that she had an affair. But she was tracked to the country and brought back to Iran by her father and her husband this week, according to local media reports. Now, sometimes in Britain and in Europe, you get instances where a jilted boyfriend attacks the girlfriend, and he spoils the girlfriend, and he harms her in some way because he thinks, if I can't have her, nobody can have her. But what is different about this is that it's actually the woman's father that does this. This is the difference, I guess, between white people and non-whites. It's actually the family of the victim that attacks the victim in these other cultures. And I'm not putting a value judgment on it. I mean, this is the way that they prevent affairs from happening. This is the way that they get their daughters to marry the person that they want to marry, which is a long-standing tradition of theirs, whether it's right or wrong. That is their culture, that is their tradition, and this is their traditional way of dealing with this. I guess in Europe, we just have social shaming. If a woman has an affair or she dishonors her family in some way. We just have social shaming. But in these other countries, with these other cultures, they have these more violent ways of dealing with this. And the surprising thing is that it's often the family that are involved in this. The victim was just 12 when she was married to the man, who is also her cousin, and had a three-year-old son by the time she was killed. I mean, this is very different to the culture that we have in Europe, getting married at 12 years old, having a three-year-old son by the time you're 17, and marrying your cousin. I mean, it's very, very different to our culture over here. So when somebody like that comes over to Europe, do they follow Western ways and become acclimatized to the culture and the country that they're in? Well, doing that is often the reason why these honor killings and these honor crimes take place in the first place. So maybe they're better off following their own culture and their own traditions. And of course, when they do that, then you end up with a separate culture within your country, and you end up with a group that is pulling in a different direction to the other groups in the country. If it's multicultural, if it's just one particular group there, then it's pulling in a different direction to the host nation. So again, multiculturalism is not good. It's not good for the people that leave their country and move to a country with another culture. And it's not good for the people who invite these other groups into their country. It's not good for us here in Britain, the indigenous British people, and it's not good for these other ethnic groups either. Authorities have arrested the husband and his brother on charges of killing Mona in revenge for adultery and leaving him. Police did not release the men's names. Now, they have arrested him, but as we will hear later on in this article, that doesn't necessarily mean that they will be charged. Gruesome footage showed the husband grinning as he held a knife in one hand and carrying what was said to be his wife's decapitated head in the other. The incident has shocked many people in Iran, where the legal age for marriage is 13 and women are compelled to wear a head covering in accordance with Islam. And this is why Iran is seen to be pretty progressive as far as Islam is concerned. They don't tell people they have to wear a burqa like they do in Afghanistan or completely cover up. They just have to wear a head covering, where they do still have this early age for marriage of 13. And this is based on Muhammad, who is supposed to be the perfect man. And one of his wives, his favorite wife, Aisha, she was 9. When they actually got married. So they have this very young age for marriage. And again, you cannot really put a value judgment on that, because women are fertile at that age and they can produce children. And we used to have early marriages over here in Europe. But the thing is, we don't anymore. So you have this big difference here. And when you invite these people into your country, they're used to marrying their daughters off at 13 and marrying them off to their cousins. And of course, we know that cousin marriage is not good either. That results, or it can result, in congenital disease. And we've had a huge increase in the areas that are multicultural of congenital disease. I forget what the exact statistic is of the number of Muslims that are actually married to their cousins, which is not ideal. But of course, that's the way that they do things. But it's completely different to the way that we do things. So of course, if you have two different ways of doing things within one country, again, you are just going to get friction from it as a result. Iranian newspapers and social media saw an outpouring of shock and rage over the killing, with many demanding social and legal reforms. So there is a movement against this, yet at the same time, there is a lot of people that accept it. Otherwise, the husband would not have walked through the streets carrying the head. A human being was decapitated. Her head was displayed on the streets and the killer was proud, said the reformist Daily Sazandagi. How can we accept such a tragedy? We must act so that femicide does not happen again. So this is the reformist media here that is against this. Lawyer Ali Mojtahadzadeh in the reformist paper Sharg blamed legal loopholes for paving the way for honour killings. And that's quite incredible. You would think, well, murder is murder. Surely there is no loophole there. And the person that did this has been arrested. How could he get away with it? Fellow Member of Parliament Elham Nadaf told the ILNA news agency, "Unfortunately, we are witnessing such incidents because there are no concrete measures to ensure the implementation of laws to prevent violence against women." But they have been arrested, so what could be these legal loopholes? Semi-official news agency ILNA quoted police officer Colonel Sohrab Hosseinijad as saying the two defendants confessed to the murder during the police investigation and were introduced to the judicial authority. So not only were they proud of doing this, they walked through the street with the head, they're also confessing to the murder. Local media said police did not elaborate further on the killing or who filmed the gruesome video of the husband carrying the wife's head. Well, it was probably the father. Iran's media watchdog shut down news website Rokhna for publishing the video footage, the state-run Iran newspaper reported on Monday. According to the report, a media supervisory board on Sunday closed the website because of its continuing to publish images and issues that violate public decency. So why would they be doing that? Well, they're probably trying to intimidate women, shame women and frighten women into not doing the same thing. So you have this non-progressive strand throughout Iranian society, which supports this sort of thing. I mean, we would say, well, this is absolutely barbaric. Beheading people, I mean, hanging people. We stopped doing that in the West a long time ago. But this is just something that happens within these other cultures. Mona's killing was believed to have been an honour killing, according to local media, which refers to the killing of a relative who is perceived to have brought dishonour on the family. Sharia law says that only blood owners, that is, immediate family members, are allowed to demand execution for the murder of a relative, which means most honour killings go unpunished, since families tend not to demand the death sentence for another family member. So it's actually the person that carried out this killing that is the one that the law looks to say, do you want this to be punished? This is what Sharia law says. It's up to the family to pursue justice. And if it's the family that have actually carried out the killing, such as in this case, then they're not going to pursue justice. Again, this is very different to the justice system that we have in the West, and yet we now have Sharia law courts in the West, where we're trying to accommodate the unaccommodatable. I mean, multiculturalism, I mean, it cannot ever work, can it, when you have these different ways of doing things? It always means that it's going to cause unrest and friction. In April, and this is in Iran, in April 2021, a 50-year-old man shot to death his 9-year-old son and 7 of his in-laws in the city of Avaz, that's in the same city. In June 2020, Rehana Amiri from Kerman in south-central Iran was bludgeoned to death after being attacked with an iron bar by her father. Local media reported that the 22-year-old survived for nearly 24 hours after the attack but bled to death from her injuries. During the same week, 19-year-old Fatima Barahi was beheaded by her husband after running away just 2 days into their forced marriage. The 23-year-old man, who was also his wife's cousin, handed himself into the Valiasar police station in Abadan, southwestern Iran, whilst holding a bloody knife. He told officers that he had beheaded his wife due to her infidelity and had left her decapitated body by the Bahar 56 area next to the Barmanshir River, reported Iran International TV at the time. So he's gone in there because he's quite proud of what he's done, because it's in keeping with Sharia law and in keeping with their tradition. And he knows that the family are not going to prosecute him because he was working with the family in doing this. It was his cousin that he killed. At the end of May 2020, a 13-year-old Iranian girl was beheaded in an honour killing by her father while she was sleeping, local media claimed. Iranian laws mean girls can marry after the age of 13, although the average age of marriage for Iranian women is 23. So this is a small subsection of their culture that is doing this. It's not all of them, but it is still accepted. While the exact number of honor killings in Iran is not known, a Tehran police official has previously said they account for around 20% of Iran's murders. I suspect Iran probably has a very low murder rate. But then, as we learn here, one in five of them are actually honor killings. So I wonder how many honor killings and honor-based offences we actually have in Britain. And this is from an article that came out a few months back. The number of honour-based abuse offences recorded by English police forces has soared over the past 5 years, figures suggest. And again, this is an offence that would not even exist in Britain if it was not for multiculturalism, if it was not for the government's diversity policy and the government's immigration policy. These offences would never have taken place in Britain. According to data from the 28 out of 39 constabularies that responded to Freedom of Information requests, the number of honour-based abuse cases, including offences such as rape, death threats and assault, rose from 884 in 2016 to 1,599 last year, a rise of 81%. So it doesn't look like these honour-based offences are going down. It looks to me like they've doubled just in a few years. They will probably double again. They're going to keep increasing. The more we have multiculturalism, the more immigration we have, the more a percentage of those immigrants are going to be the sort of immigrants that will carry out honour-based crimes. And they will increase because the immigrants that we do invite over here, we then encourage them to become like us. We encourage them to be westernized. We tell them that they should go out dating, they shouldn't have arranged marriage. And what does that do? Well, that puts them at risk of being attacked by their family for breaking the family honor. This is why I say multiculturalism is not just no good for us as the indigenous Britons. It's no good whatsoever for the ethnic groups that are actually coming here. It destroys their culture. It pits the children against the parents because the children are being taught in the schools to be westernized. And if they try to please their teacher, they try to please their Western friends, then it puts them at risk of being killed by their family for doing so. While some of the increase in honor-based abuse offences could be down to more victims coming forwards and improved identification of offences by police, Imran Khodabokas, a senior associate at the family law company who represents families in such cases, said the rise was alarming. And I think there is a rise there, not just because people are coming forwards, but because these children of these immigrant families are encouraged to westernize. And this is one of the reasons why Somalis are sending their young boys back to Somalia, because they don't want them to become westernized. In particular, they don't want them to become criminals, because London has such a high crime rate, and they believe that if they send their Somalians back to Somalia, they're less likely to end up getting involved in knife crime and getting involved in gangs. But there's also just, I mean, you could say that's crime, but there is also just this westernized idea of feminism, of easy divorce, of dating, of sex before marriage. All of these things, certain strands within Islam will see as being dishonorable. And it puts the children, the teenagers, at risk of this attack. And that is what multiculturalism does. Imran Khodabokas said, "It is essential education around what honour-based abuse is and how it impacts families is improved across the country. These figures are likely to just show the tip of the iceberg. Lockdowns have exacerbated the problem for many, and as we continue to get back to normal life, I expect to see even more cases involving honour-based abuse. Of course, due to the very nature of these cases, it is likely many victims will never even think to approach the police, and the issues are often not recognised by schools, social services or the police." And of course, you've also got the fact that if anybody did start investigating this and asking about this, they would probably get accused of being racist. Forced marriage and female genital mutilation are other instances of HBA offences committed, according to the Crown Prosecution Service, to protect or defend the honour of an individual, family or community for alleged or perceived breaches of the family or the community's code of behaviour. So it's not just that they see that they're dishonouring their family, they think they're dishonouring the community. And of course, the community is going to cover up these crimes, aren't they? Because it's going to be part of their culture that this sort of thing should happen if somebody becomes westernised. So the number of these offences that are being carried out is going to be many, many times the number that actually get reported. There are estimated to be 12 to 15 so-called honour killings in Britain every year. Notorious cases include Banaz Mahmood, whose father, uncle and other relatives plotted to murder her after she left an allegedly abusive marriage and fell in love with another man. So the whole family, father, uncle and other relatives. Number three, Rania Aliad, 25, was killed by her husband and buried in a suitcase in North Yorkshire in 2013. Ahmed Al-Khatib was jailed for a minimum of 20 years after the court heard he subjected her to years of abuse, believing she was becoming too westernised. So she was becoming a British citizen. She was being encouraged to become westernised and to see herself as British instead of seeing herself first and foremost as a Muslim. And she was killed and chopped up and put in a suitcase for doing so. Samira Nazern was stabbed 18 times at her family home in Southall, London in April 2015. Her brother and cousin were jailed for life after being convicted of her murder. Samira had asked to marry an Afghan asylum seeker rather than someone in the Pakistani family circle. So even just to wish to be dating or to be romantically involved with someone from a family, fairly similar ethnic group, even that is out of bounds for these people, let alone associating with white people, people or Christians, people with a completely different culture to their own. British Pakistani Shafilia Ahmed, 17, vanished from her home in Cheshire in 2003. Her body was found in a river in Cumbria 6 months later. Her parents, Iftikhar and Farzana Ahmed, were jailed in 2012 after being found guilty of murder. So the mother is also involved in this. Prosecutors had said Shafilia's parents felt that her Western ways brought shame on the family. Prani Kumar, 24, was hacked to death with a machete on September 14th, 2018, in front of his pregnant wife because he came from a lower caste. He was killed in broad daylight as he and his wife, Amruta Varshini, were coming out of Jyoti Hospital in Malyalguda, India. The couple married in January 2018 despite opposition from both families due to their class difference. Even class comes into this. Samia Shahid from Bradford was killed on a trip to Pakistan. Shahid's ex-husband and father were arrested in Pakistan in connection with her death, but her father died while on bail and nobody has stood trial. And I guess when they do this, they expect not to actually have to stand trial because that's what their Sharia law says, that if the family don't want to press charges, then no charges should be pressed. The Home Office has collected data from police forces on these offences on a mandatory basis since April 2019. Its first figures, described as experimental, showed 2,024 offences recorded in 2019-20, although it said, as it was often a hidden crime, this was likely to have been a small proportion of the offences actually committed. Again, these offences would never even be occurring in Britain if it wasn't for multiculturalism. Greater Manchester Police were excluded from the Home Office figures because they could not supply data owing to the installation of a new IT system and were unable to respond to the Freedom of Information request either. Karma Nirvana, a charity that supports victims of honour-based violence, said the omission of figures from Greater Manchester Police, England's third biggest force, was significant as the area generates a lot of calls to its helpline. And again, the reason why that area generates a lot of calls to its helpline is because it is multicultural and there are a lot of non-whites there, particularly Muslims. But as we heard with one of these cases, you also get it with Hindus. Natasha Ratu, the director of Karma Nirvana, acknowledged that police identification of such crimes was better, albeit still with room for improvement. who said the fact that there are increases suggests that people are and have been feeling more desperate or more at risk. The charity wants a fresh review of policing of honour-based abuse by Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary. As it says, many of the recommendations of the last report in 2015 have not been implemented. So what did this last report have to say? Well, it said police are not doing enough to protect victims of honour-based violence, forced marriage and female genital mutilation, according to the report. And I guess up until 2015, I mean, this is not something that British police are used to dealing with. It's not a part of Indigenous British culture, so they're not going to know how to deal with it. And it's just been forced upon the British country as part of multiculturalism. The first report by Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary on forces' responses to the set of crimes, which disproportionately affect women from ethnic minorities. Don't forget, I mean, it's ethnic minorities that are the victim here, and they wouldn't even be the victim if it wasn't for multiculturalism, if it wasn't for them being given this Western education and being Westernized. And of course, from that, you can extrapolate from that that their families are going to want to Islamize the country, aren't they? They're going to think, well, we want the country to follow Islam because then we wouldn't have this risk. So again, you're going to have this friction there. You're going to have one culture trying to impose its culture on another. And what we have here is Western culture trying to impose itself upon Islam by Westernizing these people, because we think our ways are better than theirs, basically, which is a form of supremacy, isn't it? They found that only 3 of the 43 forces in England and Wales were adequately prepared in all areas to respond to the needs of the victims and to take the cases through to prosecution. Inspectors found that well-trained and experienced officers who can identify and protect victims at an early stage were spread thinly, while attempts to adapt existing domestic abuse and child protection procedures could not take into account specific challenges posed by honour-based violence. And the specific challenges of this is that it's the family that are carrying it out. And normally, it would be the family that would be concerned about this and the family that the police should be going to. But here, it's the family that are the suspects. The Inspector of Constabulary, Wendy Williams, said it is clear that the police service has some way to go before the public can be confident that honour-based violence is properly understood by the police and that potential and actual victims are adequately and effectively protected. And again, a large portion of the Muslim community is going to think that the way that this should be properly understood is that it should be allowed to go on because it's a part of their culture, because these women have broken the cultural codes of their community. And they would be wanting the police to respond to it in the same way that the police responded to it in Iran, and basically looked to the family if they want to press charges. Again, a totally opposite way of doing things to the way that we're used to doing things here in the West. HBV, which refers to a collection of oppressive practices used to control the behaviour of women and girls, usually within families, to protect cultural and religious beliefs, has become increasingly high profile in recent years. Cases such as those of Banaz Mahmood, who was raped and murdered by her family in 2006, raped by her own family after leaving her husband, and 15-year-old Tule Guran, who was murdered by her father after a Romeo and Juliet star romance, have raised its profile. But HMIC's report found few forces had taken enough steps to fully tackle the problem. There you go. I mean, we have William Shakespeare. We see these things as Romeo and Juliet. They're romantic. And yet they are seen by this other culture as being an executable offence. The person involved in the Romeo and Juliet style romance has broken their cultural code and should be executed. And you could not get more opposed to the way that we do things. In 2014 and 2015, there were 129 successful prosecutions. In the 96 cases where prosecutions did not end with a conviction, The top reason for the case's failing was that the victim retracted the complaint. In some cases, officers spoke to precisely the wrong type of person. As they attempted to investigate the circumstances surrounding allegations, including family and community members who may have been involved in the abuse. Again, if it's to uphold the honour of the community, then obviously the members of that community are going to be protecting the ones that carried out the offence, because they're going to see the offence as being entirely within keeping with their community values and within Sharia law. Many victims are still not believed, the abuse is dealt with as cultural, and the family is still deemed as the protective factor, when clearly in these cases it is your family that you are reporting. Victims always have multiple perpetrators who are extremely convincing and do not report these abuses. They are organised and will work collectively to deceive the police and further isolate victims. In separate research conducted by academics from the University of Bristol and published alongside the HMIC report, victims of HBV said police often found it difficult to understand their situations. One said that it seemed that officers were afraid of appearing as though they were racist. Once again, I mean, it's the same thing here as why the young white girls, the victims of the grooming gangs, were not properly investigated. Police were afraid of appearing racist. And now you have young non-white girls becoming the victims of these honour-based crimes. And once again, the police are not investigating because they fear that they might be called racist. I mean, it's about time we got over this fear of being racist and confronted reality. The reality is that multiculturalism is not good for us. It is not good for them. And it's about time that it went in the bin. It's about time that we changed our policy and admitted that it's a complete failure all around and tried to do something about it. It'd be quite simple to do, very simple to do. You could just encourage the people that are living, the few white people that are left that are living in the multicultural cities, you could just encourage them to move somewhere else. And the not so multicultural areas in the countryside, you could encourage those that are of a non-white ethnicity to move into the city areas where they could be amongst their own community. And you could also offer voluntary repatriation to people, offer them a financial package to go back to their ancestral homeland, ones that committed crimes that were in prison. You could repatriate them. I mean, there are very practical ways that you could deal with the problems of multiculturalism, and it would bring the crime rate down amongst all communities. It is far better for a people to be living amongst their own. I mean, these girls that are being accused of being westernized, they wouldn't have the chance to become westernized if they were living among their own community. And these honour killings, they wouldn't occur. I mean, a lot of these ones that occur in Iran, they probably occur there, again, because of westernisation, because the West tries to encourage girls over there not to wear their headscarves, and that they try to get them to follow progressive politics in the universities there. It's the same problem. I mean, multiculturalism and the projection of one culture's values onto another culture is always going to cause friction. It just cannot end up in a positive way, can it? I mean, people end up developing cultures and traditions that are in tune with their own national spirit. And that's why all the different peoples have these different cultures. And when you try to impose another culture on a pre-existing one, you end up with this sort of thing happening, honour killings. And I wanted to bring this up today because it's not something that really gets talked about, but it's really the opposing side of the coin to the grooming gangs with the white victims. Only this, in this, you've got non-white victims that have become westernised. It is just a failure of multiculturalism all round. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.